The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, here we go. Tuesday morning, it is a numbers game. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander. Today we are in downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'll be here today. I will be here tomorrow. Kelly Bidlin has been here all week. Kelly, how you doing this morning, pal?
I'm doing great. It's been a long week so far.
Tuesday, bud. It's only Tuesday, and it's supposed to be the All-Star break.
That's right.
This is supposed to be our chill time. I said, what's an All-Star break on social media just now? Because we don't break. My plan was, like a month ago, before... You know, you don't really know what you're doing every week. And when you work in the freelance game like I do, you never know. You could have a show here, show there, do this. But my scheme, my plan was, All-Star break. I'm working hard during baseball season. Maybe I'll take a week off this week. Yeah, no, that didn't happen. that's usually when everyone else...
Yeah, too many other people have the same idea.
...takes a week off. And we're, as the B squad here, hey, listen, you get the call. Actually, no, it's on this side, the lefty. You call in the lefty... And here we are. So speaking of left-handed pitchers, we actually did see one in the All-Star in the Home Run Derby last night. You don't see left-handed pitchers too much in the Home Run Derby throwing to these guys. But that's where we'll start today. We got a great show booked for you. Drew Dinsick's going to come on in about 15 minutes. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some Olympics, too. And that's not something I expected to talk about today. But that is on the horizon. Tyler Shoemaker, of course, VSiN writer, is going to come on and talk a little WNBA at the top of our next hour. And then at the bottom of our next hour, Brian Lindicke? Did I get that right?
Byron Lindicke.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked you that on air. I should have asked you that off air. Byron Lindicke, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast, of course. It is championship week.
That's right. Busy golf week, yep.
Yeah, we're going to have to wake up early. That's the one thing about the European tournaments, not only the Euro, which we just had, which was a little bit more, I would say, Pacific time zone friendly. This tournament this week across
this
the pond.
One's not,
this
yeah.
one is not Pacific time zone friendly. I think there might be a night, probably on Friday, where I might just not go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what your schedule is, right? Like if you don't have to wake up early in the morning, unlike us. Like,
Saturday is a tough one. Maybe Saturday night into Sunday. Maybe that is when I will catch the whole kit and caboodle Sunday morning, of course, because that's the final round. But I digress. We'll get Byron's thoughts. We'll get Kelly's thoughts, of course, does a great job on the Long Shots podcast as well. We got a lot of golf to talk about this week. But let's start with baseball. I know it's the All-Star break. Let's start with what we saw last night. Let's start with the direct result the morning after the Home Run Derby. I'll be honest, I think on a scale of 1 to 10, and I've been a Home Run Derby fan for – probably since I was a kid. I don't remember the ones in the 90s. I think the early 2000s, I think Josh Hamilton, I want to say in the 2008 yeah. range. I want to say that was the first one. I was like, wow, this event's freaking awesome. It wasn't awesome last night. It was not at that level. It wasn't even at the level it was last year when Julio Rodriguez in the first round cracked 40 dingers. I don't think anyone hit more than 21 in the first round. I actually think Alec Bohm, who was the long shot of the whole night, had the most in the first round. That's kind of the night it was. I'm not going to be this old man yelling at the cloud saying, oh, well, back in my day, they did it this way. But they've made so many tweaks to the rules over the last 5 to 10 years. It's really hard to kind of get a grasp of it. I do think there's betting value. Teoscar Hernandez won, and he was about 12-13 to 1. I did a thread yesterday on social media going through all the pitchers that were going to be throwing to the hitters in the Home Run Derby. Of all of the pitchers, Teoscar had the most experienced one. Dino Abel, who threw to Vladimir Guerrero, threw to Albert Pujols with the Angels, who threw to Jock Peterson with the Dodgers. The guys that were kind of the middle-of-the-pack pitchers who didn't have a ton of experience didn't fare as well. I thought Bobby Witt was fortunate to get into the final. He had some lefty throwing at him. It was like curveball after curveball and then slider, splitter. Like, it feels like, though, the way this tournament, the way this Home Run Derby has evolved, it's getting harder to find value because of the new rules. It's getting a little bit harder to kind of sift through some of the new rules and just figure out what the heck is going on. I think on a scale of 1 to 10, to go back to my original point, it was like a 5 last night.
Yeah, Ben and I were sitting here yesterday talking about a lot of the new rules, and I think, just even looking back, I still think I like the changes, But as you and I were talking a little bit before the show, it's become a lot.
Perez, the guy in the broadcast, didn't even know the rules of the bonus round until about halfway through. He kept saying, oh, well, if he gets this 440 or 425 foot, he gets the bonus. And Carl Ravitch's like, no, that's not how it works. Like, and that's a problem. Like, when the broad, and I'm not saying maybe he should have been a little more brushed up on the rules, but it was a little bit convoluted. It was not as cut and dry as it's been in years past. And I think the more they change it, the harder it is for people to kind of get into a routine with the rules.
Yeah.
If it changes every year, it just it kind of lessens a little bit of it.
No, I think you're right. And again, I think I actually liked all of them. But it is, I think at the end of the day, when you're seeing people struggle to figure them out on the broadcast, it's like, are we maybe doing too much for something we call a home run derby?
I think the point is
just to hit a bunch of home runs.
Like. You nailed it. Doing too much. And I get accused of this all the time because we all try to do too much at some point in our lives. Like, we all want to overachieve. We all want to look good in the eyes of our employer, of our girlfriend, of our friends, whatever. And we kind of do too much. I think there's going to come a point where maybe, hopefully, we just decide on a set of rules and let that be, like, at least give it a few years. It does seem like every year they change it. But congratulations to Teoscar Hernandez. I think it was, I don't want to say the right result, but he was a guy that had a lot of buzz coming into the season, has had a really good year with the Dodgers. I think other than Shohei, with Mookie Betts being hurt, Teoscar Hernandez is one of the more important players in that Dodgers lineup, and he really showed off his skills last night. It was not a very high-flying home run derby. We did not have a lot of memorable performances.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great ending, though, right?
The ending was good because Bobby Witt came like 6 feet away from tying it up.
Yeah.
And we did have a swing-off. I bet this yes on the swing-off last night almost 4-1.
Oh, okay, nice.
So that was a good result. I bet Teoscar to make the semis. I really like Teoscar. The analysis I did yesterday on the pitchers, I really thought Teoscar was a guy
who was going to overachieve.
Yep. That's fantastic. So, again, it was an entertaining night. I do like the home run derby. I think I like it more because it's my first night in like 4 months where I don't have to worry about baseball games.
You don't got to candy cap a bunch of games.
And I'm just kind of kicking my feet up, and I'm like, oh, this is nice. Let him hit a bunch of home runs. And then today, don't have to, reset and do it all over again because now we get a nice little break. And that's kind of where the conversation moves now into tonight. We do have a game on the docket. It's not like we're completely devoid of baseball tonight. It's our last baseball game until Friday. The American League, the National League, the All-Star game. I struggle handicapping this game. I'm always transparent with you. I thought the home run derby last night, I did see value. I bet Alonso. That didn't go too well. But I also bet Hernandez. I thought there was value. I think because of the nuances, not only the psychological nuances with performing in a home run derby, but some of the things that are important, like who's throwing to you and the rules. I think there's a value proposition with the derby. I don't believe that in the All-Star game. I honestly don't. I think because of all the moving parts with the rosters, you don't know who's pitching when. You don't know who's leaving the game when.
Right.
I think that makes this All-Star game the hardest to bet on. I think the NBA All-Star game is a little bit easier to bet on. Obviously, you're not betting on the hockey All-Star game. Obviously, the Pro Bowls, forget about that. Of the two All-Star games, I actually think this is the tougher of the two.
Yeah, it's. I think they're both pretty comparable.
They're both tough. I think this one's a little tougher.
I think like the All-Star weekends in general, right? Like I like throwing a couple bets in on the home run derby. I like throwing a couple bets in on the three-point contest.
Yep.
I think there are handicapping angles to them at least a little bit.
Dunk contest, not so much anymore.
Dunk contest,
it's
stay away from.
It's being decided by voters.
Yeah, and a lot of people just don't even hang odds on it anymore, right?
I agree.
But the games, man, are tough. The games are tough, even though Ben brought up 13-3 to the under, I believe, in the last 16.
Yeah, that's been a good angle.
You have the AL has won 27 of the last 35. Like what? Like it's almost
and
amazing
the American
to me. The
League
trends
is
are
favored
this heavy.
Tonight on DraftKings. They're about a -120 favorite. The Nats. They're even odds, basically +102. Total sitting at 7.5. Yeah, I mean, I think if you bet the under, I'm assuming that's where most of the public is probably lying today, which means it's probably not a fair number. Let's check. I did get some betting splits this morning. Yeah, the Nerfies, the most popular bet on the board at MGM. That doesn't surprise me. Ohtani and Judge to hit a home run. Those are very popular bets. Paul Skeens to have two or more strikeouts in the first inning. That is a very popular bet. I think the Skeens one's interesting because you think he might actually come back for the second inning. That would be intriguing to me if they do run him out there for another inning. Usually it's been one inning for each pitcher.
Yeah, that's a big question.
If I recall, right? If I recall correctly, there has been years where the starter's gone two innings. I might be wrong on that. I don't remember what happened last year. We've had a lot of baseball games since then. But Paul Skeens, but it's really hard to bet props in this game. Like Ohtani's plus 450 to a home run. He might get two at bats. Plus 450 to a home run, like he's usually around a 2 or 3 to 1, you know, shot to hit a homer. So now you're betting plus 450 and he might get two at bats. Like and he could get pitched around. Like yep. It just like to me those are bets that I don't have a whole lot of interest in making. Yes, the under is getting most of the handle tonight. I think the American League, if you had to ask me which team has the better roster, I think I would lean American League, especially the starting lineup. I think the American League has the better starting lineup. I think the National League might be a little bit better on the bench. I think the National League is a little bit younger. I think they might be a little bit hungrier. I remember there was a big streak where one of the leagues had like a really long streak that was just ended recently. It's not a bet I'm going to be interested in making. It's not a game I'm really interested in betting on, but we will briefly touch on it a little bit later on in the show. All right, coming up next, we do have bets to make in the NBA. We do have bets to make in the Olympics. Drew Dinsick, Whale Capper, coming up next on the other side of Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, get ready to win big this NFL season with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up for our football special before the end of this month. You'll get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl with an early bird discounted rate of $175. Saves you nearly 50% off the monthly price. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain access to our daily best bets, betting splits, betting systems, everything betting related, analysis from pro handicappers, 24/7 video content, and our special betting guides, expert insights, in-depth coverage, keep you informed, help you make smarter bets throughout the season. Don't wait. Sign up before the end of this month. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount of $175. Sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, a numbers game returns here on Tuesday morning, the morning after the Home Run Derby, the day of the Major League Baseball All-Star game. But let's put all that to the side for a minute because we have some NBA to talk about. And for that, of course, we bring in our pal Drew Dinsick, analyst for NBC Sports Edge and the Deep Dive podcast. Follow him on social media at @whale_capper. Drew, it's great to talk to you, pal. I feel like we're kind of in that zone where you're excited about the NBA. We're getting some numbers for win totals. We're trying to figure out what's going on in Summer League. It's that weird postseason no calm after the storm. I mean, it just seems like the season continues as the NBA here in Vegas. It's been an exciting week so far in Summer League.
For sure. And, you know, I think there's been a little bit of a change in my opinion of how the conferences are imbalanced. I'm outside of what the Thunder have done. I'm not impressed whatsoever with any of the contenders in the West. And so what looked like it was going to be a wide open, very difficult to handicap and fun to enjoy seeing it play out, Western conferences. Now, all of a sudden, you know, I think a lot of the very good teams have gotten a bit weaker. I can very clearly see that the win totals reflect my expectations that you have a number one with a bullet in the Celtics in the East, a number one with an advantage in Thunder in the West, and then a little bit of a miasma after that. Not a clear and obvious stratification between the Knicks and the Sixers, which is interesting. I personally would put the Sixers higher in terms of championship equity, but lower in terms of regular season expectations. And that's kind of where they're sitting. So I think that's reasonably fair. Still a lot of what do you call it? I guess maybe respect for the Bucks. Putting the Bucks in the 50 win category still is interesting to me. I mean, they should have a healthier season, you would think, from their two stars. But that rest of that roster is getting older, and they didn't really get any support. So that's kind of fascinating. And then the Mavericks are rounding out the expected 50 win teams. This isn't a huge surprise. Yeah, wow. There's no catching the books sleeping here. The Magic in the 47.5 range was a number that I was excited to see where that opened. That looks pretty fair. The Grizzlies in the 46.5 range, like, all right, we're not getting any freebies this year in the win total market from what I can tell so far. And I think it's really just going to come down to, if you can, just find a little bit of imbalance in terms of division and schedule strength and things like that. Maybe the only way to pick on these.
Yeah. And that's interesting because, what did we just see? We just saw the Thunder overachieve a little bit in the playoffs. And I'll be honest, I was surprised to see them at the top of the Western Conference. And we've seen that number move up since it opened. I remember 54.5, and now we're seeing 55.5. Is that trend going to continue? Is Oklahoma City really worthy of this perch heading into the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. They got better and everybody else got a little worse. And I think it is maybe it is recency bias. I will admit that I was caught up in how good they looked, particularly down the end of the regular season, securing the one seed and then dominating in round one of the playoffs. It was all just sort of confirmation of this young core is legit, and now they've gotten their playoff experience under their belt, and they have a young nucleus that is not just dynamic in terms of the way they can both attack and defend, but just in general deep, young, healthy, and they've added to some of their strengths to kind of give them even more dynamic looks. So I honestly amazing coach with Mark Daigneault, really, really smart front office, an analytically sound team. They kind of check all the boxes in terms of the types of shots they go for, the types of shots that they avoid, and with respect to what is high efficiency and plus EV kind of philosophy. I honestly can't say a bad thing about the Thunder, and I think realistically the West goes through them this year.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of respect. Boston right now in terms of the futures market sitting at the top, but Oklahoma City in the Western Conference is right there 8-1 to win the NBA title. Do you think their roster, the way it's constructed, are they mature enough to make a run through the playoffs? Because win total is one thing, but now they have that playoff experience, and in terms of what the futures market's telling us, they're just a step ahead of the Nuggets right now.
Yeah, it is a perfect roster in terms of playoff defense. The question kind of becomes, can they do a little bit better in terms of generating easy looks in the offense, on the offensive side of the ball, in a playoff setting? We saw their offense get wildly stagnant against the Mavericks at times, as they had Lu Dort's kind of occupying the dunker spot and mucking up spacing. And I don't know if that will be just sort of lesson learned for Daigneault, or if the the players that they have now mean that they can just kind of put more dynamic lineups out there. But my guess is that the Thunder are going to be a bet on in every playoff series and in every kind of in the futures market, because people, I think, are going to be a little bit hesitant to believe that SGA can be sort of the best player in a series, the best player on a championship team. Like, people saw Luka Doncic go toe to toe with him and take him down, and they're going to assume that Nikola Jokic is going to do that. They're going to assume that, fill in the blank, like, superstar name brand player is going to get the better of SGA just because, he doesn't have sort of the headline name appeal that a lot of the other stars do. And I think that that could change this year.
Drew, just going back to these win totals quick, I feel like last year when these opened, in the past couple of years, there's definitely been two or three that I kind of ran out and bet right away. I think I'm picking up that vibe from you already that I'm not really feeling the same way this year. A lot of the numbers felt very on point from what we saw from DraftKings. We're still waiting on some other books to open. Do you think you'll be betting one or two of these right away when you see them open elsewhere, or not really?
There's a couple at the bottom that I like the unders.
Okay.
My lowest projected win total last year and my biggest difference, my biggest delta was the Pistons.
Oh, wow.
They were like, I want to say it was like they were in the 20s.
27 and a half. Projecting. I bet them over. Yeah. Didn't work out.
Oh, no. Kelly. I was projecting them for 14 wins, and I was like, I must have a bust in my code, in my calc here. Like, how did I get to this far off the number? And I'm looking at the same sort of situation here with a number of these teams at the bottom, most notably the Wizards and the Nets. And
wow.
I honestly, like, these are not really, these are G League teams, you know, in general. And, you know, maybe some of the, maybe a guy like Sar really does kind of have the goods to show up and play well right away enough to kind of get you a couple extra wins. But 22 and a half is a big number. They just traded away their best player.
Yeah.
Denny Avdija is not on the Wizards anymore. Did you guys know that?
And their best player is Denny Avdija.
22. Yeah. Number one, that was their best player. Number two, he's not there anymore. So, like, yeah, I think ultimately, like, the Wizards at 22 and a half seems absurd to me. I think just in general, I'm not including the Trailblazers in my list of pessimism. I think that team is better than people realize. But, there is a number of squads here towards the bottom that I don't think we've got right.
Yeah, the Wizards under, I think we had Nick Whalen on the show yesterday from RotoWire on one of the other shows on the network, and he was very, very high, or I guess low on the Wizards, high on the win total going under. Before we let you go, Drew, the Olympics, it is a bettable event. It's something that I think it's super niche. Like, you've really got to do your research because there's no stats available. Like, you've got to, like, really understand the field. But tennis is your thing. They are playing tennis in the Olympics, and you think maybe the Wimbledon champion, Carlos Alcaraz, might be a little mispriced.
Yeah, that one was a weird one. So if you didn't already know, the Olympics this summer are in Paris, and the tennis will be tennis and boxing, interestingly enough, will be contested at Roland Garros.
Awesome.
And Roland Garros, of course, the home of the French Open. I don't know, about a month ago, we saw Alcaraz win Roland Garros convincingly while playing at about 75% of his peak level, which he showed very clearly at Wimbledon. And so I'm kind of scratching my head as to how you could have anywhere close to the similar price that Alcaraz went off French Open as he is currently lined right now to win gold medal at the Olympics. Cause now that he's healthy, now that he's kind of got his full arsenal of weapons, I think he should be closer to pick him in this one. Like, Iga is -190, not a lot of value on the women's side, but Alcaraz should kind of be in that same discussion considering how well he's playing right now.
Drew Dinsick, fantastic stuff. Follow him on Twitter @whale_cap. Appreciate the time, pal.
Best of luck, man.
A numbers game continues after this.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Downtown Las Vegas, Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander today and tomorrow here on A Numbers Game. We want to thank Drew Dinsick for coming on. I already started to do some poking and prodding to the Olympic markets here in Vegas. I think Carlos Alcaraz, his pick for the men's tennis gold medal, certainly has some upside. I did see 2-1 on DraftKings, as we just discussed, but there's a +190 here in town, so I think I'm going to be gobbling that up at some point. In about 20 minutes, we're going to get back to the NBA. Kelly Bidlin has some thoughts not only on what we just heard from Drew, but also taking that a step further with the win totals that were just released on DraftKings this week. Very exciting stuff as the NBA kind of resets its fiscal year here in Las Vegas. I haven't kept tabs too much on the summer league.
Oh, I feel JVT so bad, Jared. Yeah,
I know JVT's been high on. I'm sure you've been really busy trying to keep track.
No, last year was great. We were out there. We had a set out there. We were out there like every single day. But like, we got the Open going on, so we got long shots we're recording later today and everything. I haven't been able to get out there yet, and it's a little frustrating because I love the summer league. It's great, man. You run into some people you haven't seen, and it's just a fun, laid back app. Like, if you love basketball, like it at any level, right? You love basketball. It's just great to be able to hang out for a day and see all these different teams run through there. And you know, some great betting opportunities, too, when you figure out who's going to play and who's not going to play.
There are some interesting betting opportunities. And, of course, I believe that we are doing a lot of online stuff with the Summer League. So keep tabs on VSiN.com as we continue to move forward. Let's switch the conversation back to baseball for just a minute here. Because what we didn't get a chance to talk about off the top, I kind of bloviated about how the Home Run Derby is becoming a dinosaur, and the All-Star Game being kind of a difficult betting event. But I do think the All-Star break is kind of that time where I hit the refresh button, not only with the futures market, but also win totals, in-season win totals, yeah. and all of those things. I think tomorrow I'll have a little bit more win total vibes. I'm going to do some research tonight on Fangraphs. I'm going to really dive into what the expected numbers were compared to what the actual numbers were, and I'm going to see if we can find some deltas there as we move on into the second half of the season. But the futures market is intriguing. Don't need to do any expected win total stuff there. We can just kind of reassess the market at the break and see if we can find any value. And I think the National League Cy Young is the most interesting market to talk about. If you want to go through, right,
really
there's six markets, really, right? There's MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, each league times it by two, that's six. I think the MVP is done and dusted. I don't think anyone looking into the MVP market right now is going to find a legitimate reason to fade Aaron Judge, barring injury, unless you know that he's going to get hurt. I don't think anyone is going to find a legitimate reason to why Shohei won't win it unless he gets hurt. So besides that, it's really tough to handicap injury.
Better chance of losing there, Shohei or Judge?
Shohei. Just okay. Because of there's no one in the American
I've
League.
Enjoyed that question because I feel like it's a snap answer right away with
right
Shohei.
Away.
So it is. It does tell you a little bit. I mean, yes, he's minus 290, Aaron Judge minus 310. So the odds would tell you Judge a little bit more favored.
Not
to get
a huge
there as
difference
well,
there.
But yeah, a huge difference.
I just think Judge's analytics are so off the charts, right? The F war, G war, P war, I don't know, whatever war they want to tell you. It's like ridiculous. And it was Shohei's on that level too, but I think Shohei plays on a team that is much more suited to pick up the slack if he ever were to miss time. If Aaron Judge gets hurt and gets pushed to the side for the Yankees for a month, that's it. Like I don't think Soto can carry the load, and I don't think they have anyone else on that roster that can really carry the load. Whereas the Dodgers have, I know Betts is hurt, but they have Betts, they have Freeman, even Teoscar Hernandez, who won the Home Run Derby last night, is having a very productive year. They are a deeper lineup. Now their pitching rotation isn't as good, but that has nothing to do with the National League MVP odds. We're talking about just the lineup, and if Shohei got hurt, had to miss any significant time, I just think the Dodgers are better suited to fill his void. And to me, that's what an MVP really is. Like, mm-hmm. If you leave the game leaves with you. And I think with Judge, that kind of is the vibe I get with the Yankees offense this year. He's such an imposing presence in the middle. He's having such a good year. I think he is the better of the two choices. But regardless, there's no value in that market because I think both of those guys are winning it. And so if you are betting someone else, you are drawing dead. Now, if you want to go bet Aaron Judge and sit on a minus 300 for the next 3 months, then all of the power to you. But that's not something I would advise here. The Rookie of the Year awards are intriguing. I think if you asked me, obviously National League is done and dusted. I'm talking about the American League here. I think the American League rookie... Paul Skeens is the National League Rookie of the Year.
I think that was good.
I'll rephrase. The American League Rookie of the Year is intriguing because we are developing into that situation, not quite like we saw in 21, but similar to what we saw in 21, where we had two players very deserving of the award. They play different positions. So they're obviously graded on a different scale. Now, the caveat in the 21 Rookie of the Year market for the National League was they both played for the same team. Michael Harris and Spencer Strider. It was a very, very intriguing race in terms of precedent. Michael Harris won it. I think that brings the value down of the pitchers a little bit because Spencer Strider was very deserving that year. He burst onto the scene very much Skeens-like and just were mowing people down left and right. But he slowed down a little bit later in the year. His ERA was elevated. The K per nine numbers were fantastic. But Michael Harris was more consistent. I think that's where Wyatt Langford has become this hot commodity. I don't think he's won the award yet, but I think he deserves to be the favorite. I think Luis Hill deserves to be the second favorite, and I think behind him is just a mess. I heard our pal Dustin Swedelson text me a little bit earlier over the weekend. He said Colt Keith of the Tigers at 40-1 was an intriguing bet for him. I agree. I do think there is a chance that somebody can still come from the back of the pack here and have an unbelievable 2 months and win this award. Do I think it's going to be Colt Keith? Do I think it's going to be Willy Abreu or one of those guys on the Red Sox? No. I do think Langford right now deserves to be the favorite. I don't think there's any value in this market.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, bud.
I was just going to say, that one's interesting because you do it, like you said, you got that, you've got the position player and then a pitcher right at the top. So it's,
how do you value each position?
How do you value each?
We've seen the voters say they value the position players more.
Yeah, well, and I also think it's more sustainable to have a higher floor as a position player.
You're playing
right?
every day.
Because you're playing every day. I mean,
start, recency bias lasts
exactly,
the whole week.
Exactly. I mean, you go out there and have two bad starts. Two weeks. Luis Hill's number drops to what? 8-1? Yes. 9-1 in this market? So I do think that part's interesting as well. Hey, and, you know, it goes the other way, right, as well. Luis Hill goes out there and has three amazing starts.
It's almost like
in a row,
an accelerant.
The
way the pitcher, compared to the hitter movements in these markets, it's basically multiplied by five.
Yeah.
If a pitcher goes out and has an unbelievable start, it's a significantly more, accelerator to the market than if a position player goes out and has one good game. Like, it has to be a whole week. So, again, these are just little nuances. This is why I think the Rookie of the Year market is actually one of my favorite to handicap every year, because you do have a very definitive gap between pitchers and hitters. The voters recently have told us they favor the hitters, especially the hitters that play premium defensive positions. That's why I really like Jackson Merrill in the National League, but it's Paul Skenes is just having that good of a year. It doesn't matter this year. This is one of those years. And that's where we go now, because I think the Cy Young Award, not in the National League, but in the American League, does intrigue me a little bit. I think when you look at, actually, frankly, both National and American League Cy Youngs, because Skenes is alive in that market too. But let's start with the American League, because I think Tarik Skubal, as much as I value what he's done, I think he is not going to win this award. I don't. I think this award's up for grabs.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear more and more of that, yep.
I honestly do. I love Tarik Skubal. I think he's having a fantastic season. But I think the fact that Corbin Burnes, who has not had a great first half, I think he's had a good first half, but by his standards, he has not been as good as he has been in prior years. I think there's upside with him. In fact, I would bet on him right now to win this award. I think Logan Gilbert is alive as well. I got him at 16, or excuse me, I think it was either 16 or 18-1 like a month ago. I think that's as far down as I'm willing to go. I think right now Gilbert is live. I think Burnes is live. I think Skubal does not deserve to be odds on. Based off of those things, I think I would bet Burnes right now in this market. I think in a month, let's play it forward to tonight, because I also think tonight will have an impact, and I think we can talk about that later in the show. But you've got two guys right now that are not favored to win the Cy Young that are starting the game. And I think that's intriguing to me, because right now what the overall climate of baseball is telling us, those two guys are the best pitchers in their respective leagues, and they're not favored to win the Cy Young. Again, this is not a statistical award. This is voted by people watching the sport that will obviously take the statistics into account. But I think guys that start in the All-Star game, I know it doesn't count in your stats, but I think that sways the mind of the voters. We'll continue to talk about the Cy Young markets later in the show. When we come back to the NBA, we've got some interesting win totals to talk about. Kelly Bidlin has a whole list of them. I'm going to be pulling out my phone to bet some of them probably. Numbers game continues on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back downtown Las Vegas. Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander today and tomorrow. Kelly Bidlin here as well. A numbers game rolls on. Top of this hour, very excited to have Tyler Shoemaker on. VSiN writer, contributor, does a great job handicapping tons of different sports. Right now, we are in WNBA season, and he's got lots of numbers to get to On the WNBA card, and we'll get to him at the top of this hour. We will get a little NBA win total vibes from Kelly Bidlin in just a minute, but I wanted to quickly finish the Cy Young conversation. By the way, awesome tweet we just got from Michael Burns. Thank you very much for watching the show, Michael. I have to read this tweet because it's really funny. He says, Scooble's not winning the American League Cy Young because he's going to be on the Dodgers before the deadline. I'll be honest, I don't think that's going to happen. Would it shock me if it does? No, that would not shock me at all. And yes, that would very much shift the Cy Young market considerably if Tarik Skubal ends up departing the American League completely. It's one of the nuances to the baseball markets that you don't always think about, but is possibly looming because of the weird way that it's structured.
Yeah, just something you don't have to think about in other sports that you do.
It's the only sport that you have to think about that. Baseball is unique for a number of reasons. That is one of them. The other one, it's the only sport where the dimensions of the field are different every stadium you go
it's
to.
Crazy, yeah.
And it's the only sport where the managers dress the same as the players. It has these weird nuances to it. Obviously, Tarik Skubal changing leagues would just be, pun intended, a massive curveball to that market. Again, I don't think it's going to happen. I wouldn't bet on that happening. That's not why I think Corbin Burns may be just slightly underpriced here. But if Tarik Skubal doesn't have to get traded, then Corbin Burns is winning the American League Cy Young. I feel very strongly about that.
How absurd is that? Like, I don't know how often I've thought about that.
I didn't think about it until just now, like, until he tweeted.
No, but when you put it like with the coaches, dressing like the players.
Yeah.
What other sport would that look the most ridiculous?
Football, 100%.
Football over NBA. Like, you want to see Greg Popovich wearing an NBA uniform?
Here's the thing about the NBA uniforms. They're just kind of tank tops.
Yeah,
like, there's no pads.
Yeah,
there's no
wearing full pads.
Paraphernalia that goes along with it. Imagine Andy Reid, full pads, helmet. Like, he's got the elbows. He got this. He's got everything. Again,
I'm on board for this. They should do that for a year. I want to see that.
Want to see Andy Reid come out and just full paraphernalia. All right, I think the American League, don't bank on Skubal getting traded. If it happened, it would be wild. I don't think the Tigers want to trade him, but if they did, they would get a King's ransom for him. I think the National League is where the most intriguing conversation comes up. I think I could probably do a whole show on the National League.
It's fascinating, yeah.
So while last Friday, Paul Skenes made his final start before the break in Milwaukee. He was basically perfect, for lack of a better term, for most of it. I think he gave up a walk or hit by pitch. No hit through seven innings. Got a little fatigue late. I'm okay with the decision the Pirates made taking him out. Actually, I heard Skenes was part of the decision-making process. He said, hey, I was gassed, and they took him out. I know there's a lot of uproar about, oh, you can't take out a guy when he's been no hit. If the pitcher himself says, I'm out of gas, you take him out of the game.
Yeah, conversation over.
Over right there. Anyways, that event was a market catalyst. As that start was unfolding, I noticed it was arguably his best start of the year, and they hadn't really moved the Cy Young number down mid-start. I got 18-1 at MGM mid-start. I knew it was going to keep coming down. It did. It's now 5-1. All right, now we have a completely different argument to make. Skenes was 125-1 when he got called up. Very quickly got pushed down to the 50-60-1 range. Then over the last month or so, we've seen the brief trickle down. Every start or so goes down to 40-1, 30-1, 25-1. Then we saw 18-1 heading into that last start. Now the big move. The big move from 18-1 down to 5-1 to the third favorite on the board. Now we have a very different discussion to make. I think the market right now is priced fairly. I think he deserves to be the third favorite. I think he has win equity in this market, but I think Chris Sale and Zach Wheeler have the inside track. It comes down to me, quantity over quality. There is an element to the Cy Young Award winner. You need to have the flash, but I think you also have to have the longevity. Right now, Paul Skenes does not have that. 66 1/3 innings. The other guys have thrown twice as many innings. That matters now. It won't matter as much if that 50-60 inning gap is 130-180.
Yeah, but
then
it
matters less.
I mean, isn't that gap going to only continue to increase, we think? I mean, isn't Skenes going to likely slow down the stretch, or not really?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, all right.
I think right now,
because that would have been the pushback a month ago, right? 6 weeks ago, right?
6 weeks ago, the pushback was they're going to shut him down.
Right.
Well, I don't know if I'm 100% sure about that. When I was a little bit more sure about that, I was a little bit more projecting the Pirates would be out of the race. And I didn't really fully grasp the just how good Skeens has been. And I think that's the part of this that I've changed my opinion. My opinion over the last month has changed on Paul Skeens in this market. First of all, the Rookie of the Year market's over. He could get struck by lightning tomorrow. He's going to win the Rookie of the Year. I hope he doesn't. But that award is done and dusted. I think the Cy Young conversation revolves around how many innings he can last at what level. If he gets to 140, I think he's got a chance to win this thing. If Chris Sale or Zach Wheeler miss any time, and when I say any time, I mean like 2 weeks, because all of a sudden, if Zach Wheeler goes from pitching 200 innings to now 180, it's a different conversation. It is. I think the only thing Wheeler and Sale have in their corner right now, quantity over quality. The quality of innings, Skeens' 66 and a third has been better than Sale's 110. It's been better than Wheeler's 115. I don't think that's in question. The numbers say that they've been better, and I think our eyeballs agree with that as well.
Yeah.
But the difference is, can they continue to pitch on that level, and can they get to a point where they've at least shown you that they are a viable starter in the major leagues and not just a flash in the pan? I think 130 is the minimum. I'd like to see 140. And if Sale or Wheeler get, you know, shut down for a week or two, and all of a sudden their numbers, because to me, 200 innings, I think both of those guys are on pace for 200. If they fail to reach 200, which is kind of like this magic number, I think that's where really Skeens, I don't necessarily should be the favorite, but kind of on par with those other two guys if he can continue to pitch at this quality.
Unfair question I'm about to throw out at you. But with Sale and Wheeler, like right now where their numbers are at, like, I mean, are they comparable to like what a Cy Young Award winner has been in the past? Like both deserving resumes. Right?
Sale's wins above replacement, according to Fangraphs, is really good.
Okay.
His ERA, expected ERA, expected numbers across the board, elite. But to me, it's all about right now quantity.
Because you're talking about, I asked that just because you're talking about two very good pitchers on two very good teams right at the top of this board. And it just feels like there would have to be, where's the hole for one of them to not win? You know, I think that's the way that I'm looking at it.
As if one of them, for example, this back injury that Zach Wheeler missed his start on Sunday for, if that's an actual injury.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Phillies saying, we want to give him extra rest. Because, again, he's at 116. His ERA is fantastic. Wins above replacement, not as strong as Sale. Expected numbers, not as strong as Sale. I think that's why Sale's the favorite right now, because he's got the analytical edge. Wheeler's got, I think, the longevity. He's got a little more innings, plays for the better team. I think he's a little bit more. Actually, I'd say they're both pretty name brands. Where Skeens, now, I would not bet Skeens at 5-1. I wouldn't. That number's going to stay there for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got time to make a decision here. The real big move was the no-hitter. Now, to be fair, if he goes out and throws a no-hitter first start out of the break, well, maybe it moved a little right. bit more. But I also think tonight's going to matter, too. I think if he shows up tonight, throws 103, 104, strikes out three guys in the first inning, I wouldn't be shocked if the number moves a hair. I wouldn't be shocked.
It's one of those things.
It doesn't count for the stats, but I still wouldn't be shocked.
I mean, Jared, it's one of those things, like Gil and I have talked about this so much, but it is like you got to keep it in mind with awards betting, right? It is something like that tonight.
It's politics.
Tonight will not matter in any statistical form for the Major League Baseball season, but it's political,
it could
right?
move
voters
the market.
Are going to see yeah. that happen. And I mean, that's where we ran through a bunch of the numbers just last week. It's like Skeens still doesn't even really belong in the same conversation
nope.
with these top couple guys. But okay, the allure, the notoriety, the press that's around
it's
this guy, you can't ignore that.
Forward.
Correct.
Again, that's what the expected numbers. I think that's the big confusion a lot of people have with the expected numbers. When I talk about things like expected FIP and expected ERA, I'm not talking about the past. The point of those numbers is to project the future. Now, that's why Sale's the favorite in this market right now, because his expected numbers are better than Wheeler's. And so we are projecting that he has a better second half. But Skeens' numbers are better than all of them. He just hasn't done it for as long a period of time It's the time horizon that is the enemy of Paul Skeens, whereas the quantity for the guys like Sale and Wheeler are in the positive side. We didn't get to the NBA win totals. I could do a whole 2 hours on the National League Cy Young.
Great conversation.
It is really good conversation. Also good conversation on the other side, Tyler Shoemaker, WNBA. Stay with us on A Numbers Game.